darlings.
Hello.
Welcome to Wake Up with Wesley. Today I'm sitting here with Colette Patricia again. Hi, Colette.
Hi, Wes.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh,
hi.
Hi,
I love
you're
you.
Back.
I'm back. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, this is Colette's second, well, actually third if we're counting season one, but we're just, season two is a whole new vibe. So
it's a whole new vibe.
This is Colette's second talk.
Mm-hmm.
Our last talk, we talked about safety in the body.
Yes.
So if you haven't listened to that one, just go there now.
Yeah, don't even jump here. Just go back, get that one under your belt, and then circle back with us here.
Why is this, Colette? Because it has to start with safety in the body. Safety in the body overall.
Overall.
Right?
If without safety, we got nothing. And we're going to talk over the course of this season, let's just be real frank up front, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about things that are going to be poking or confronting in some ways to some people. And so learning that safety for the self, safety in the body, and understanding why it's important, even when you're just listening to someone talking about stuff like this, it's important. Mm-hmm. And I think it empowers our sovereignty, is that when we remember and return to this fact that, like, oh no, I'm in charge of my safety. I'm always in charge of my safety. And so when I return to that inner child and just say, like, I got you. Then it changes the way that you experience your life, including listening to a podcast.
Amen, sister.
Yeah, well.
So you got to listen to that one first.
Go listen to
safety in the body. And the way that I've been thinking about doing this work with you, specifically Colette, because I've called her Miss Frizzle. She is like the teacher above all teachers. She's the energy master, woman, just love bubble fairy. So I think of it like a layer cake, Colette, or like a chapter book, like chapter one, chapter two, layer one, layer two. What I want to talk to you about this week is something that I get asked a lot in my DMs, people write into me like emails, is how do you find a practitioner? Mm. Who do you choose to work with? And it's so funny because the people who know me and my story know that I did this shit alone.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely alone.
Yes.
10 years doing this alone. I think that I always would have said, and I do say, you can do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because I did it. I'm proof. You can do this alone. Who I'm becoming now is at this new level of awareness, it's like an awareness in me is that, yes, you can do it alone. And also there is a point in your healing or unbecoming and becoming that you actually have to be witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be witnessed, you have to be held, and you have to have accountability. And that's what I'm finding now in working with practitioners is the juicy energy that is created when someone witnesses you break and become all at once.
Well, I think that you have to do it alone up to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to do your own inner work and spend time on the inner landscape. Because if you come to a practitioner, although a practitioner can help you on any state of the journey, so wherever you are, but I think that for those of us, I was the same exact way. I did most of this shit alone. I didn't have any money to go to a practitioner. I didn't even know that, even at the time, practitioners weren't popping up left and right like they are right
now.
Well,
let's just break down the word practitioner, because enter this world, you're hearing shaman, space holder, what's the other words? Healer. People say healer. There are so many words for what these all sorts of different people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
You've landed on practitioner, and I actually really align with that term for what you are. Can we explain the term practitioner and why you feel that actually suits you?
I think the term practitioner in comparison to some of those other terms that you just listed feels to me more energetically neutral and emotionally neutral, because you say the word shaman. I'm not a shaman. A shaman comes through a lineage. It comes through a generational initiation, right? That's what our culture and what is understood to be that word. Although the definition of the word shaman also means a human being that can stand in between the earthly and the spiritual realm on behalf of another.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that can do those types of things, which could be super woo-woo and super not woo-woo, but that is the practice of a shaman. But I don't claim that word. I would never claim that word because of the cultural significance of the indigenous peoples that are actually shamans.
I feel this deeply. I feel like it does, it's culture. I don't know. There's an appropriation thing.
I agree.
Going on. Like,
I just don't think that word should be tossed around as something that you're doing unless there's been an initiation into that actual practice, right? And so for me, a practitioner, the word practitioner, A, is neutral because it indicates that I, as a space holder, as someone who's offering this, I'm still in my practices, right? So what I hold space for other people is not something that I have transcended beyond and I no longer engage with for my own journey and my own healing. So I am a practitioner of cannabis meditation. What does that mean? Well, it means that I smoke some weed and sit down and meditate and do that consistently. And then I also take that lived experience and bring that into the container when I'm guiding others through that similar experience. This is true for meditation without cannabis. This is true for energy practices. This is true for other somatic things, breath work, and all these other things that I do as my practices that then I share with others. And so for me, when I'm looking for a practitioner, I want somebody who's embodied in their practices. I don't want somebody who is just doing something.
That was my first question to you, is how do you pick a practitioner? And that would be your first step, is who embodies what they're actually doing to hold space for the others? Yes. Like, are you actually, is your money where your mouth is?
Right.
Are you doing the shit? Right. Do you actually do the shit you're talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, that is step one.
That's step one. And I think that it comes across really clearly. Is the first thing is, what are you interested in learning? And what do you, when you identify a practitioner, the first thing that you would say is like, do you want what they're having? Mm-hmm. When I meet you on the street, hi, nice to meet you. I'm a X, Y, and Z, I'm an energy practitioner. My first spidey sense is going to feel into the energy and be like, does your energy feel good? Do I want your energy in my energy bubble? Right? But it's like this thing, do you want what you're having? Meaning, are the practices that you're offering to people, are they benefiting the practitioner themselves?
Yeah.
Because I think that that's a really important part of our work. Now, when you're a professional practitioner, there is an element that your work, like if you're a massage therapist, you obviously can't be a massage therapist on yourself. Uh-huh. But are you, as a massage therapist, are you cueing and guiding and sending your clients to the journey of their healing in ways that you're doing that same work for yourself? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I just feel like I want to work with people who are in their own shit, to be quite frank. I don't want to work with an enlightened practitioner. I don't want to work with somebody who's beyond the human experience. I want someone who's like, no, this is what works for me. And this is what's worked for my friends. And this is what's worked for people that have come to me. And this is why. And that's the kind of person that I want to hold space for me, you know, is someone that I feel like can see my human, because ultimately the act of holding space, as you're saying, this notion of witnessing is like, I don't need to be witnessed in my divinity. I don't need to be witnessed in all my power and my glory and my light. I need to be witnessed with snot dripping down my face, weeping into the floor at the atrocities of the trauma I've experienced, or that the collective has experienced, or that the what we're currently experiencing, right? I want a practitioner that can sit with me in the shit. I don't need a practitioner that has already transcended the human experience and is basically levitating. You know what I mean? And so there's an element of real humanness that I seek in a practitioner.
I love that. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you seek, what are your red flags?
So, you know, even in my cannabis meditation facilitator training, I talk about how to discern a quality practitioner, both in the sense that this is a lens that I want to continue to view myself through, and just like a checkpoint of like, am I aligned as a practitioner first and foremost? But then when I'm seeking out support outside of me for my own path, I'm going to look at these kind of four big pillars. I call it the pillars of ethical practice. The first one is safety. And as we mentioned already, if you don't have safety, you have nothing.
Yep.
So just because this might be the most profound practitioner on the planet, they might be literally walking on water, they might do all of these things that everybody on Instagram says, this is the homie. You step into their presence. If you don't feel seen and safe in their presence, then turn your ass around and run away. It doesn't matter what they know.
This has happened to me. That has genuinely happened. Everything looks great on paper or online. I'm like, they're saying the same shit I say. Mm-hmm. They believe the same stuff I do. They're doing the same things I do. I got into their presence. And here's the thing. Here's the thing I want to say about that is that it wasn't a match.
Yeah.
Everything aligned. There was no judgment. Yeah. It didn't mean that I think that they were fraudulent. I didn't think that they were fake. It was a chemistry thing. Like as in when people say like, oh, we have good chemistry, what I think people are saying is they're a vibrational match. Like whatever vibration I am in, in communion with you, I think that our vibes together, they harmonize.
Yes.
We're not the same. No. We're not the same vibration. But I think that we come together in this really beautiful harmony. Mm-hmm. And in that space, we can work together really well. I can trust you. You trust me. There's this funny thing that we create independently of you and I.
Yes.
It's the third. It's the third thing.
It's the circuit, right? Yes. It's this connection between two poles.
Yes.
That is what it makes the magic. That's where the chemistry lies. This literally electricity runs through two positive negative charges. Mm-hmm. And so you represent this two parts of a circuit. And so when you step into the presence of a practitioner and the circuit isn't present for you, then
it's a no.
It's just a no.
And it doesn't mean they're bad.
And it's a no offense. It's just a no, because your body is telling you, for what the fuck ever reason, there is no actual reason, your body is saying, it's just not right for me. It's just not a good fit. And with 7 billion people on the planet, that's okay. Uh-huh. You don't have to be in alignment to this one practitioner, even if everybody else says that they're really dope. And it's not about their dopeness. It's not about their quality of medicine that they serve or don't serve. It is the fact that your body says, not for me.
We're not in harmony.
We're not in harmony. That can be neutral. So that safety element of it, and remembering that you deserve to declare that as priority for you, just because this practitioner knows more than you do, maybe they have more experience perhaps than you do about certain things. They understand all these things, but it's like, just because they know a little bit more, they're a little farther on that path of that, it still does not deny your own right to feeling safe in your body, mm-hmm. which then leads to my next thing, which is sovereignty. Does your practitioner look to you as you're already healed, you're not broken, there's nothing wrong with you? Or do they see you through this lens of, let me fix you, let me help you, let me change this for you, I see where you're all fucked up, let me blah, 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 you know, any of that projection shit, right? And the sovereignty of, I'm a practitioner who just shows other people how I work with my practices, and I hold space for them. I don't like the word healer, because that implies that the person who's holds the title of healer is doing a thing to the person.
It's always the person.
It's doing not the healing. That's not the thing. So as soon as any practitioner is like claiming the healing of those that have come to them in the sense that I did that thing, to me that's a red flag. And again, it's not in any fence. And it's also quite the tricky place to navigate through as a practitioner, because I get a lot of feedback from people that it's like, holy shit, you're a healer, you're a shaman. They've used these words at me. And I'm just like, I appreciate that reflection and I receive that and I am thankful for that. But what I would say back to them is like, that was you though. I mean, you did that. You found that healer inside yourself. Mm-hmm. All I did was say, it's possible. And here's like a little roadmap to get there. I'll just show you how to find the path.
Colette, this one is so huge to me, the sovereignty thing.
The sovereignty.
So huge to me, because this is what I come from a high demand religion. Mm-hmm. And you, similar backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So it is such a red flag to me when people escape that matrixy thing, mm-hmm. and then they hop into similar, almost exactly identical, but change the verbiage.
Of course.
And it is scary sad. And I want to scream at them, like, don't you see that you just hopped? Mm-hmm. You hopped from one boat to the exact other boat, and you're not free. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have freedom, then what are you doing? Mm-hmm. It's sad.
It is.
It reminds me of Teal Swan now, that documentary. It's really scary.
It's a really intense documentary.
Like that's like an archetype. I don't want to throw her under the bus, but like that is like an archetype that we can all look at right now and say, there's some red flags there.
This denial of sovereignty over one's healing, to me, that's a huge red flag. So what's the green flag then? Finding practitioners that use language that empowers your ability to heal yourself. Now, we all need help on the path, because we were not taught as children how to regulate our nervous systems and how to rewire our thinking patterns, how to create safety in our bodies, how to tap into the power of the breath, how to dissolve the boundary of the body and dance and energy. We weren't taught these things as a child. So, of course, we need a practitioner to reflect back and to hold that space for us. But we don't need someone else to step in and do our work for us. In fact, nobody can do that. Nobody can do it on the other's behalf. So any practitioner that is using language that empowers you as the healer, there's a green flag for you. And it's like, that should help build a little bit of safety in the body too. So if you're like, I like this person, but I'm still feeling them out, take as much time as you need to feel them out. I'm not saying that as soon as you get this flag in the body that you should run away. And I did say that a second ago, and I didn't mean it exactly like that. Give yourself time to feel out this practitioner, especially if there's something tethering you, like there's some truth there that you resonate with.
Like maybe curiosity, is that enough to stay?
Yes, like a skeptical curiosity is healthy. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So go, anytime you meet a practitioner, go in with a skeptical curiosity.
What if that's just like, that's my body?
Yeah.
Sometimes my mind is yes, my awareness is yes. I want to do it and my body is just slow to come around. So in those moments where I'm like, I'm just feeling nervous, like that's my own body, mm-hmm. healing my own mm-hmm. sense of safety, giving myself some loving time.
Yes.
It's not maybe a run for the door. It's a sit with this, digest it, see how you feel in a day or yes. two. Just pause.
Yes, just pause.
Okay.
And I would say that like really that discrepancy between mind and body, that's a really interesting one to explore within yourself, because it's likely that you'll see that repeating pattern in other areas, not just in seeking a practitioner, right? And so, and I think that even our friendship, as we've talked about many times, yeah. is this like, your mind was like, oh yeah, all in, Colette's dope, we're friends, that's chilling. Your body was like, I don't know, avoidant. Girls are kind of freak me out.
Avoidant.
I'm not down for that. And it was like, I knew that this was happening for you because we've communicated about it clearly enough that I'll wait. I'm not in any pressure, right? Mm-hmm. And so when your body says, okay, now I feel safe enough to come around and be in intimate relationship with Colette, then we're there. And the same thing is true with clients that come to me. I have people that kind of orbit and circle and come a little bit close or do my practices and things, but they don't work with me one-on-one, or they don't come into that next level of engagement for a period of time. And then it will be like, okay, and now I'm ready. And I'm like, cool. I'm so grateful that you took the time that your body needed, because I know that the work that we can do together now that your body's actually open mm-hmm. is far greater than what it would if you would have forced your body because your mind said, Colette's cool. She's got her profile looks cool. Her Instagram is whatever. Someone said she's dope, whatever. I trust that enough that I'm going to go into it. But your body's like, eh. Yeah. I would actually rather you take your time and let your body get on board as a practitioner, so that I know that when we come to the work together that we can do a lot more depth. And so same thing in relationships, as it would say is about practitioners. If someone come to me and said, hey, I'm interested in working with you one-on-one, and I put on this weird kind of, oh my God, yes, you need to, you should do it, I can help you, I know I can, blah, blah, blah.
It's in like, your timeline, in right. your way.
That mm-hmm. feels a lot of pressure, that feels a lot of projection, that feels a lot of lack of sovereignty to the client. And so then I say, yeah, I'm here. Let me know when. I'm not going anywhere. Take your time. And then it'll be 6 months that somebody will disappear from my orbit. And then they'll come back and say, okay, I think I'm ready. And I'm like, cool, let's go. Right. Yeah. So it's like, if you would have took another year until you were ready to jump into hanging out, friends, podcasting, whatever, I would have been chilling with that. Yeah. Because I'm not in a rush. I'm not in an agenda here.
Yeah, you really allow me to be my sovereign self. And it's so funny because I do know this about you, that you know exactly what's going on and you don't even bring it up because it's not yours to bring up. You know that it's mine to bring to you.
Whenever it's time. Or whenever you don't even time. Have to bring it to me. Like, I want to hear about it because I want to know, and this is even with clients, professionally and personally, I really want to know what's happening inside the inner workings of your space. But the way that I look at it is none of my business, mm-hmm. right? Until you make it my business, until you say, hey, as my friend or as my coach or as my mentor, can you speak into this for me? Then mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, I will give you every tool that I have in my toolbox. Mm-hmm. But without you coming to me and inviting me into that space, I'm A, projecting, and B, forcing some form of my perceived egotistical, I know more than you know bullshit onto you. Like, no way. I don't want to do that ever. Not to my friends, not to my clients, not to people that randomly walk by me on the internet or on the internet. That's how it feels like life is now. It's all mixing together. So I think that returning to sovereignty, not only to empower that, does your practitioner empower you as your own healer? Mm-hmm. I am simply just a person who did this to myself. So I already know kind of what you're going to come up against. I've done this work for a lot of other people. So I have experience here that I've seen, a pattern of human behavior that I can support you in a way that I think is unique and interesting. Do I believe that I am your fucking healer? No, definitely not. But yeah. I love you and I'm going to love you real big. And the love that I have for you is going to feel a little bit overwhelming, even inside of professional spaces, because my love in my coaching, my love in my teaching, that is what makes my work so powerful.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you'll know love in your body and working with me in a way that will be confronting.
I can vouch for that. Okay, so what's the third pillar?
Okay, so it's safety, it's sovereignty, it's consent. Oh, consent is my most favorite thing. Mm-hmm. Consent is informed consent about everything that you're doing. If you're planning to touch their body, are you telling them ahead of time? What does your sessions look like? What modalities do you employ? What can the person expect? What are they signing up for? Now, I do understand that there is a time when the element of surprise inside of a healing space is beneficial because it gets the brain out of pattern in a way that's really profound. Mm-hmm. So there is an element of surprise, I think, that's beneficial. However, there has to be this really clear dialogue around what is the person agreeing to do? What is the person standing before you agreeing to do? And if you're seeking a practitioner's help and you go in and they say, oh, I do this modality. Well, what is that modality? What can I expect of you? Are you going to touch my body? Are you going to make weird sounds? Are you going to breathe in a weird way? Are you going to speak out loud? Are you going to speak silently? Are you going to say nothing? There's all these different elements that I think just giving that informed consent, this is what you can expect mm-hmm. in a session with me. I'm going to tell you everything up front. And if I'm planning on touching your body, I'm going to tell you these are ways that I might touch you. Is that okay? Just like
beforehand.
Mm-hmm. These elements of consent, I think, is really, really important, and making sure that people are in their informed consent before dropping into an experience, especially if we're working with plants, if we're working with deep, profound breath work or other types of intense modalities, right? Mm-hmm. Like really helping people be in their informed consent not only empowers their sovereignty, which empowers their safety. These are all kind of building on the other.
Yes.
And then the last one is what we talked about at the beginning, which was in that embodiment. Do you want what they're having? This person, whatever you're coming to them for, is there an energy about them that you say, yep, I trust that. Yeah. I want that. I want what you're selling, what you got, what you're doing. This is alignment to me. I want to have what you're having. Are they embodied in that? The other thing I think that's really important when we're seeking out practitioners is, do you feel a sense of safety and joy in their being, just in their liveliness?
Like, do you like them?
Do you like
them? Do you like who they are?
Yes. Does it feel good to be around them? Do they seem like they're in a good place? Because if they're just in healing work all the time, yet they seem exhausted, frazzled, overwhelmed, frustrated, disassociated, not connected to their own body and to their own joy, then it's kind of just like, okay, I don't know. Like
I don't want what you're having.
I don't want what you're having. And again, it's not in judgment, and maybe it could be perceived that way. And I don't intend it to be being that way, but it's just like, and I don't think every practitioner needs to be Molly Sunshine all the time either. I think there's just this element of real aliveness that I seek in a practitioner that is, again, going back to they're fully embodied in their human experience, the highs and the lows, the goods and the bads, the light and the dark, the pain and the joy, all of it. And they hold it with ease, yep. Right? That's kind of what I think of when I think of embodiment. I don't think of someone who's enlightened and beyond the human.
I don't either.
I'm embodied in the human.
I'm actually not attracted to that.
No, because like, it's not real.
No, it's not real. I actually reject that. Yes. Like all the meditation pictures of mm-hmm. people just sitting cross-legged mm-hmm. with their hands out and their eyes closed, I do not relate to that.
No. Well, it's a staged photo. Because if you see a photo of somebody really meditating, they have what I call the der face on. And their face is all like, their cheeks are all soft and their lips are and there's a little bit of drool and their eyes are heavy. It's not attractive.
No.
Right? Meditating humans aren't attractive. And so, and we could probably talk about the attractiveness of women in general and how even holding our faces in a cute way is like such a part of our conditioning, right? We could go into that one for a whole fucking episode. But like real meditation, when you're really dropped in, your face is dirred out. You are just like dirr. And so yeah, those pictures of this idea of meditating is just like, it's cute and also it's not authentic.
I am genuinely attracted to like the belly laughing, silly, goofy playfulness. Like when I am looking at a practitioner and when I can see them be goofy mm-hmm. and play, mm-hmm. that to me is like, oh, there you are. Mm-hmm. I want that.
Yes.
I don't want the seriousness. I know we have to go serious all the time.
Yes.
I know I respect that, but that's not my end goal mm-hmm. is to live this really, really like serious, like mellow, steady,
yes.
steadiness. That's actually not what I want in mm-mm. life. Like I actually want the gamut. I want to experience the fullness of all the emotions in a way that is healing and not desensitizing to my nervous system. Like
yes.
I want to embody
yes.
the highs and the lows
yes.
and find okayness in all of it. But I really Colette, I want the highs and I want the lows.
Same.
I signed up for it.
I signed up for it. That's why we're here, to be a human.
I want the depth of the human experience.
So when we learn through all of these practices, through the plant medicines, through cannabis meditations, through breath work, through journal, like all of them, all of these different modalities, what they're all teaching us is safety in the body, how to return to safety over and over and over again in the body, no matter what the fuck is going on around you.
And don't you think that playfulness is a byproduct of safety?
Yes.
It is.
Because it's the antidote to trauma. Because the reason that we stopped playing as children is because of trauma. Uh-huh. And we grew up too fast. That's what they say. It's like, oh, when they say to a child, oh, they grew up so fast, it's like, they had to probably, you know, like if you're an adult now that grew up too fast, it's probably because you had to. Yeah. So that means that you missed out on jumping in rain puddles and drawing on the driveway with chalk and just silly exploration of bugs and plants and trees and the things that kids do. Because as soon as that nervous system has to keep itself safe, so whatever age you were, nervous system said, oh shit, I got to keep myself safe.
Yeah.
Then that is what we're unlearning through all of this work that we're doing.
What if you're really young? What if you're 4?
Yeah, well, then the work is going to feel a little bit harder because it's going to be messier in some ways. It's going to be painful. Well, it's painful for everybody, but the younger and earlier you were, then that mechanism of needing to keep yourself safe is so much more attached to your identity. And
I mean, I was 4. Mm-hmm. Is this why this shit is hard for
me? Yes. Same.
I mean, I'm all in and I'm finding it extraordinarily hard.
And the closer you get to that, to letting it go, the harder it gets, which is also why these plants are so helpful in supporting us, is because they really can really, I mean, this is essentially the definition of what they call an ego death. There's a part of your identity that has to die. And that's the part of your identity that has been needed, necessary to keep you safe since you were fucking 4 years old. Mm. Letting that part of you go is going to feel like
me.
Letting
the, myself.
Yourself. It is me. You. It's so intertwined into who you are that it's a very intense and scary thing. And so this is where having a experienced practitioner that knows what they're doing, but that you feel so fucking safe with, because that very first moment of releasing that part of the nervous system that has been created over your entire lifetime to keep you safe, that very first moment of removing that energy from your body is going to feel like literal death in some ways. Like it's going to feel so painful and scary to the body.
Well, and do you want to know what it is? Just clear as day to me now, speaking to you about this, is that it is my way forward. It's the thing that I am the most avoidant of. I am so self-reliant. Yes. I'm so independent. I can do anything and everything on my own. I've proven myself.
Of course
that,
you can.
That is true about me. And it's so funny that the way out, the next level, is actually being witnessed by women.
Yes. And being witnessed, not just like, you look at you, you look so cute in your earrings and your hair, little ponytail right now. Like even witnessing you here in this moment of us having this beautiful conversation. Although yes, there's an element of witnessing here. But what I want to see is you literally like on your knees, fucking screaming out, grieving, crying, or laughing hysterically to the point that you're out of control of your body. Yeah. Like just that type of human witnessing, right? This big human space of like, I see all of it.
The mess.
Human, the divinity.
God, I want it.
I want it.
I crave
that. I'm hungry for it.
Me too, Colette. I really want it so bad. Pardon the interruption. Let's talk about Element. Element is the best electrolyte drink mix with the purest ingredients out. So electrolytes are so good for us, you guys. Not only do they help us with body fatigue and brain fog, but did you know that they affect our nervous systems as well? Because, fun fact, electrolytes conduct nerve signal and regulate the fluid balance in our brains. I didn't know that. I didn't know that they can help conduct nerve signaling. So sodium is critical for our brain health. When we're low on sodium, our bodies can experience headaches, fatigue, lethargy, lack of energy, and enthusiasm. So I feel like so many people deal with these symptoms on a day-to-day basis. I definitely have days where I do. So my favorite remedy is a quick packet of Element in my water. It dissolves into just normal plain water and it tastes pretty damn good, if I do say so myself. And it shockingly has no unhealthy, toxic additives, not even sugar. So if you haven't tried Element yet, now is the time. Right now, my listeners get a free sample pack with any purchase. So that's 8 single serving packets free with any Element order. Get yours today at drinkelement.com/Wesley. This deal is only available through my link. So you must go to drinkelement.com/Wesley. And just thank you to Element for sponsoring today's episode. Let's get back to the show. I already know what people are going to ask because they have been asking me already on my DMs. What are you a practitioner of? We have thrown cannabis meditation out there. We've thrown the womb healing thing out there. But like, can you just give them just a fundamental, a little slab of foundation of what are you a practitioner of? Can you give them the consent that they're going to want? Like, am I interested in working with her? What is it that we'll even do? I don't think they understand it.
Yes.
Because well. I don't even know how to talk about it. You kind of have to experience it. But Colette, try.
So first and foremost, and always, I am a practitioner of energy. So I'm an energy practitioner. What does that mean? I work with energy in my own body, and then I can support people as they come to work with energy in their body as well. I do that through a few different modalities. So cannabis meditation is one of the modalities that I offer, but ultimately it's still an energy practice. Mm-hmm. So when I do, like I do a virtual Monday night meditation every on Zoom every Monday, anybody can join. So when I do that, I give a little spiel at the beginning. I do the same spiel every time. So bless the people that come every week because they hear the same thing. For every time that there's a new person, they get the whole thing. But basically I teach people that when you use cannabis meditation as a modality to access the subtle energies in the body, you can liberate, alchemize, and transcend through some of these energies that are stuck or lodged inside of your nervous system. Mm. That can be unpleasant, that can be painful, that can be fucking pleasurable sexually in some ways even. It's orgasmic in some ways. And the whole gamut of the human exists inside of that practice. So I use cannabis meditation as one of my modalities. I also use breath work. So I do breath work inside of a couple different ways. I do breath work journeys, meaning like 25 or 45 minutes of deep 3-part breath where you're really thinning that veil between the conscious and subconscious mind. You're really tapping into a lot of energy in the body, amplifying that through that through those practices. Meditation is one, but movement is another one that I do. And so right now I'm still in the process of figuring out how I want to teach movement because movement is so important to me. Mm-hmm. I practice yoga, but I don't teach yoga because I want to teach my own movement thing that's different from what yoga
I've
is.
I've seen her movement thing, you guys. It is, it's the thing in me that I'm like, oh God, that's a little, like that is like another layer yes. of vulnerability
yes.
that I actually, because I'm like, it's that pause,
yes.
backward step. That is my indication that yes. that is exactly where I need to go,
yes.
which is just, God damn it. Like, I got to do that.
You got to do it.
I got to
You will eventually. So I use movement, breath, meditation, cannabis meditation as a way to teach energy in the body. So when I'm offering informed consent, when someone comes to my work, it really depends on what we're doing. Because if you come to Monday night meditation, I'm going to give you everything that you can expect for what might happen during Monday night meditation and that thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't need to give all of the information of what could happen if you came to a workshop with me in person, right? Because that's not applicable to that experience. So depending on where you meet me or find me, depending if it's online, if it's in person, if it's one-on-one, if it's cannabis, if it's breath work, if it's whatever, I'm going to give all of the details as far as like what it is that I'm going to do and how I do it. So mm-hmm.
It's very interpersonal. Very
interpersonal. Yes. And it's very much like my cannabis meditations on Monday night are going to be so different than a small private meditation I would do in someone's home with 6 people, mm-hmm. right? It's a different energy. And so it requires a different consent. When I do hands-on work, I'll tell them a few ways that I like to work with the energy body. So two reasons I touch the body. One is to help or 3 reasons. One is to help ground and relax, just like a massage. Just I'm going to give you a little scalp massage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to rub your eyebrows a little bit, just help you ground and calm. The other reason I touch the body is it helps draw your awareness to a point on the body, usually along the chakra system on the spine. Mm-hmm. And so I might tap the solar plexus, or I might rest my hand above the belly button, or even rest my arm over the pubic bone to access the root area to draw that attention to that space. But again, I would say Are you comfortable if I touch the area between your breasts? Are you okay if I place my arm over the pubic bone? Are you okay if I touch the soft part of your belly? Is it okay if I gently drag my fingers across your skin? Because another way, a third way that I use touch in my work is I call it intimate touch therapy. And it's really just this very, very light grazing of the skin, usually on the arms, the face, or the neck, or the clavicle.
I have shit to say about this.
So I
You have done that. You've done that to me. And it feels motherly.
Yes.
It's like a motherly touch that if you're not receiving from your mother, it is provoking it, but in a way that you are hungry for it. And that knowing that it ignites something in you that says, oh, I want more of that in my life.
Yeah.
It's like a knowing that we all know, like you gently are caressed like by someone who's not your mom, like a mom as a 35-year-old woman, and you want to cry a little bit. And then that's your door. Walk through that door. Right. There's something for you to find in that door.
Yes.
You want that. What you want is your way. There's something about what you want. That's where you go. Yes. You go to where you want to go. Yes.
And the reason I do that, like not only everything that you're saying is exactly why I touch the body that way. The other reason is because the very ends of the nervous system come to these spider, even smaller than spider web like filaments that exist right on the surface of the skin. This is how your body detects temperature changes. This is how your body perceives information from our environment, is these little receptors that are connected to the nervous system. But if you go and get a traditional massage and they push on the muscles, then that level of force is, it bypasses those very, very sensitive little ends of the nervous system. Mm-hmm. And so when you do that very gentle touch on someone's skin, especially when they're dropped into that state, it literally activates that part of the nervous system. And to me, that's where the energy system that I want to help people find, that's where it lives. It lives in the fascia. Oh, it lives right on the edge of the nervous system there. And so when I drag my fingers gently across the inner elbow, which is a tender space on the arm, there's this energy that sort of follows the trail of my fingers, and your body goes, holy shit, I can feel that energy now. And then there's my doorway.
Colette,
now
we're in. The way that you talk about energy, this is a podcast in its own, but you have said something multiple times in cannabis meditation, in our meditations, in our work together, that can you feel the energy in your body? It sometimes feels like glitter. Mm-hmm. I can hear your voice when you say it. It feels like glitter. It feels like sparkles. There is something to energy that it does feel like glitter in the body. Mm-hmm. And I did not know what you meant by that until I did your cannabis meditation. And we all know the story. I don't like cannabis. It's not my medicine. Mm-hmm. But
she keeps saying that. One day we're changing
deeply
your mind, guys.
Respect the it is work. It's like any medicine journey. Mm-hmm. I respect your work. Mm. I honor it. It's confronting for me.
Yeah.
It's very confronting for me. I don't know why cannabis is, it feels like chaos in my body.
Well, I think that we should have a whole episode on cannabis, and we'll do that. Okay. Maybe that'll be our next one, right? And I think that because I like to talk about the shadow of cannabis, which was where cannabis gets her bad rap, all the things that you've just spoken over yourself, which we'll just like undo that language, right? You have already declared cannabis is work for you. Cannabis is chaos. So going in, you already hold that as your experience.
Yeah, it's my experience.
Right. So I would like, we'll do a whole episode and we'll talk about what cannabis is actually doing to your body to make that experience
so
prevalent.
Should we do that next? Because I'm very curious.
Let's do that one next. We'll do that one next.
I'm intrigued with the whole thing because it does activate that space, the filaments that you're talking about.
So when I teach people how to work with the energy in their body, whether it's through my own, like through modalities, through actually teaching workshops or whatever, what I'm wanting people to access is this layer inside of the fascia where that nervous system kind of runs and lives and occupies. And that's the easiest way for us to tap into these subtle energy system. That's the doorway. The subtle energy or the energy in the body that comes through those tingles and glitters that happens with cannabis meditation. It can happen with breath work and it can happen in regular meditation, in other practices like Tai Chi and yoga and things like that. You can access those energy systems. I've just found that this is a fun and easy way to do it. And then that becomes the doorway into these more and more subtle energy systems into the body, the meridians, the chakra systems, and all of that, right? So I use the nervous system as my gateway, as my doorway into the subtle energy.
Love it.
And that, so I call it somatic meditation. And so ultimately the work that I do as an energy practitioner is different forms of somatic meditation. I do cannabis meditation. I do another practice called kindred meditation, which I learned and studied from a man named Jesh Dirox. And he was a brilliant teacher of mine. Like, that man changed my life. Kindred practice changed my life. I do breath work. I do one-on-one hands-on energy work. And I do movement, and it's, as you're saying, it's very vulnerable and awkward. Really, it's a lot of wiggling, jiggling, and shaking of dance. your lady bits. You know what I mean? So, there's a lot of people that don't want to jiggle their lady bits, yeah. But really, because my work is in the fascia, that if you're all rigid and tight and tense, then that connective tissue is all rigid and tight and tense. The energy can't flow through your body. Mm-hmm. So if we get up and jiggle our lady bits a little bit, and I know that listeners, you can't see me, but I am jiggling my lady bits here. If you jiggle your lady bits a little bit, you get your breath work going, you amplify that energy, then all of a sudden, as soon as you lay still,
the glitters.
Then the glitters
the
are
glitter
there.
The glitter sparkles.
The glitter sparkles tingles.
I want every listener in the world right now, you have glitter sparkles in your body.
You do.
You just might not know about it.
You just
yet.
Don't know how to access them.
It's so fun when they come. It's a party in your fascia.
It's a party in your fascia.
It's so fun.
Let's put that on a t-shirt.
God, it's the best feeling ever. And it is shocking. It's, aliveness.
It is. And it is scary at first.
I
right?
liked it.
I loved it. But there's some people that are like, what the fuck? My body can feel these things. Yeah. I didn't know all this was in here.
That's what I want to say too, is you don't have to be special to feel this. This is not a gifting thing.
No, this is a human thing.
Everyone has this. This is a human Everybody thing. Has the glitters. Mm-hmm. It feels like sparkly goo.
Sparkly goo. Warm, warm, glittery honey. Yeah. Is how I feel it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when that warm, glittery goo pushes up against a pocket of resistance in your body, it can create some discomfort. So when we get into the shadow of cannabis, it's like, that's kind of what you're experiencing, is that cannabis is bumping up against that chaos that you're feeling. It's bumping up against a little edge inside of you that was like, no, I don't want that. So as we work to soften all of these edges within ourselves, then that glittery, tingly energy is available to us all the time. And then cannabis can teach us how to activate that energy all the time. And then we need less and less cannabis to be in that state whenever you want to be.
God, it's a kind of a beautiful thing,
isn't
it?
It's a beautiful thing.
So then you also are, you teach, there's a layer to your work where you actually help people become practitioners that you respect. Yes. The green light practitioners. Yay. That's a very, very big part of your work,
yes,
right?
Yes, thank you.
You want to create more green light practitioners.
Yes, yes. Because I really want to empower especially people, especially women, big time on women, that are gifted as fuck and they are hiding behind their responsibilities of their families or of their job, and they're hiding their gifting. And because in our culture, we don't see how energy practitioners or practitioners in general could be successful by our standard of whatever. And so my work is to empower green light. I love that. Green light or green flag practitioners. That's so cute. I want to empower more practitioners with a skill set and the confidence to run your own business. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a podcast. It doesn't have to be a humongous online thing. It can literally just be you doing coaching or doing meditation or doing little things, teaching people about cannabis, teaching people the power of these modalities, teaching them how to do that. So in addition to being an energy practitioner, I am also teaching other people how to become practitioners. And my goal by 2023 is to have a full integrated year-long practitioner training with me. That's like, it includes cannabis meditation. It includes energy. It includes hands-on work. It includes all of it. Mm-hmm. And then once you finish that year-long program, you could literally run your own entrepreneurial coaching, meditation, whatever you would want to call it, however it's calling to you, you could run your own business. And so what I see in the dismantling of a lot of the systems at play and a lot of our constructs of our society, especially in regard to mental health and wellness, is that we need to empower the communities and people helping other people. I don't need a white coat to be able to be supportive to you in a season of hardship. I don't need to be licensed in these ways. Now, those people have a very important role, and I'm not trying to like belittle or diminish that. However, there's a whole echelon of help that's available through this type of work, meditation.
Well, and I think of the practitioners, like what, like a beautiful life to live.
Yes.
Deeply meaningful work to get paid for work that helps you as the practitioner and the people that you're working with in this just juicy, it's such, there's integrity yes. behind what you do.
Thank you.
And being around you and the people that you work with, my integrity is strengthened just by being kind wow. of enveloped in, into the community because we hold each other accountable.
Yes, you absolutely do.
This is what work with a practitioner does. There is witnessing. Mm-hmm. There is so much honesty. I remember reading a book once that someone said, what is I don't remember what it is. It was a woman. She said that she craved going to rehab because it was the first honest place she's ever been.
Wow.
Like she almost wanted to relapse yeah. so she could go back into a rehab and be surrounded by honest people
wow.
in community. Right. And what I have found is you don't have to go to rehab.
No.
It's here. It's yes. It's in this work.
Yes.
You are with honest people.
Right.
And there is something so beautiful about that. Mm-hmm. Like in the sovereignty and honesty and safety of yes. it all, there is something to get.
100%. Which is also why it's so important to be mindful that there are some people that aren't operating inside of healing spaces to the same level of honesty and integrity. And that's where vetting a practitioner is really important.
Colette, this is why I stopped my show.
Yes.
It's a huge reason why I stopped season one. There, every willy-nilly person is calling themselves a shaman or a healer, or all of a sudden they have a thing to sell. And my entire job was vetting these people. Mm-hmm. And and I need to say this publicly, the amount of people that I actually would give a green flag to were 3 mm-hmm. out of, I don't know, 8,000.
Yeah.
8,000.
Wow.
It was my entire job. And I found 3 kind of like, maybe you're it.
Uh-huh.
So my moral code, my ethical code, I could not put people on my show that I did not feel were safe
yes.
in alignment and in integrity yes. in what they were saying that they were offering.
Wow.
And I do feel a need to say that publicly is you have to be careful.
You
and
do.
This is why, Colette, I chose you to come onto the show and to teach the people.
My God, I'm like going to cry.
So but they nice. Need to know. This is real shit.
Right.
It's real shit. It's really important.
It really is important. And it's discouraging because then I'm thinking if I'm in the ear, I'm in the headphones of the people listening to this podcast, it's like, well, fuck, if you guys had such a hard time finding it, how am I ever going to do that? And I think that, gosh, it's like I wish I had like a really clear, precise way of just being like, this is how you do it. But it's just the remembering that A, there are so many really good practitioners out there, and the really good ones are generally
hidden.
They're not going to be the ones out there saying like, I'm the best practitioner.
Yeah.
It's usually the ones that are just like, hey,
I literally had to pull Colette on the show to be like, you're coming on my show. You need to talk. Because she wasn't. I'm like, I need you. Come on.
Yes.
But
I think even if you're in this path and you're still like, I don't even know where to begin, I think even just setting yourself up for, let's just even go with friends. Let's just get friends in your life, women in your life, people in your life that it's like, I'm safe. I'm in my sovereignty. I'm in my consent for what this friendship looks like. Mm-hmm. And we're embodied in that safety and in that trust together. And as soon as you start setting that intention that I only want to surround myself with integrity, with high quality relationships where I feel seen and I feel safe, then the very natural way of the way energy works is that people will find you. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, people will be like, you got to see this practitioner. And you'll be like, oh my God, I've been looking for this exact thing. And now she's just landed right in my lap. And I do really believe that if we set our intentions toward our healing and toward our growth, and we invite something greater than the self, whether you call that God or the creator, the source, the spirit, whatever, if you set the intention that I'm going to pursue something pure, something good, something healing and whole, and I want to be better for myself, I want to be better for my family, I want to be a part of changing the world right now, I want to be a part of this moment in history, mm-hmm. then the universe is going to pull people into your path that are supposed to help you along the way. And like you needed 10 years by yourself before the right practitioner could come in and take you on the next step.
Yeah.
I was the same way. I was years alone, isolated. And I remember hearing so clearly, there's only so much healing you can do in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Because so much of our wounding is relational wounding, right? Like, yeah, I've got all my own shit, my inner thoughts and my nervous system, and I got to do all that stuff, of course. But so much of my shit is the number of humans that have just abused me, manipulated me, abandoned me, like judged the shit out of me, all of that stuff. So when it comes to friendship, when it comes to stepping into partnership or friendship, it's like, oh, that's where my work is.
Uh-huh.
That's where the work is. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed, beautiful listeners, about the idea of finding a green flag practitioner, Just, I feel you. And also there are people out there, and I have met some of the most incredible practitioners, which is why another part of my work is building this directory. And I want to have,
that's on, what I was just going to say. You can't find it. So you're creating it.
I'm creating it. Not only am I creating a directory of different practitioners from all different types of walks of life, but that are offering all different types of things. Mm-hmm. So on this platform that I am building, this community of practitioners, I've already trained, I think there's been 80 practitioners that have gone through my teacher training, my cannabis meditation facilitator training. So they're taking my cannabis meditation and they're adding it to their toolbox of whatever they're doing. So I have in that group of 80, there's sound bath healers, there's yoga teachers, there's massage and body workers, there's life coaches, there's spiritual mentors. I have psychedelic practitioners. I have licensed clinical therapists, counselors.
There's like an RN.
There's an RN. I have medical doctors. Like in my community, I have such a wide range of people that have gone through my practice to learn cannabis meditation in order to offer it in whatever different way that they're doing. My RN friend, person in my community, she's bringing this into the Western medicine world and saying to medical cannabis patients that are using medical cannabis for real big issues, the power of cannabis meditation as a part of their treatment protocol. So it's really exciting to think that in a year from now, when this platform is all built and this whole community is happening, wherever you are in the country, you can search your state or your area and it'll say, these are the practitioners that I know, that I love, that I have worked with, that have worked with me, that have been doing life alongside of me.
Green flag.
Green flag practitioners. We got them right here. And so that I hope to be able to be a source of a place where people can, just like how your listeners trust you so much. And that's why I like am so humbled and honored to be on this show. It's not because you're dope and I love you, although of course that's a part of it, but it's like the relationship that you have with the people that listen to your work is so, I respect it so much. And in a world of empty influencers and all of that stuff, like I respect who you are and who you've been and the journey that you've shared with people through the years, mm-hmm. that I'm so humbled to be invited into speaking to these people because I know how much they trust you and I know how much you like fucking sacred guard that trust like a royal dragon,
I really
right?
do.
You put that trust like up in the tower and you are a fire breathing dragon.
Well, you know
at the
what's
bottom.
So funny? I've done the opposite of what they tell you you have to do, which is be consistent. Yeah. Yes. I think that they know I'm real because I'm like, fuck you. I'm not doing that. I need a break.
Right.
Like that's like my personal boundaries. Like right. That is like, I respect the shit out of a woman who says, I'm actually not well to do this. It's not in line with my integrity mm-hmm. right now. I care about you so much that I'm dealing with my own things and I need to step away. And I promise you, I will come back when I can offer you what you deserve.
Yes.
But right now that it's not for me.
Oh, it's so good.
Right now.
It's
and
so
I know that they know this.
They know this.
And that they'll take my weird breaks and my
100%. Well, it's the same. I feel the same thing about my stuff on my platforms too, because I'm like, I'm not going to entertain you on Instagram. I'm so sorry. I'll occasionally post a little thing and a cute picture and things like that, but I'm not going to do like the TikTok dances and like, I'm not doing that. I can't entertain you. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, I think that I'm kind of entertaining and interesting to listen to. I'll entertain you in that capacity, but I'm not going to do like take the voice trend and do the thing that people are doing.
I don't feel like we're going to TikTok dance.
I mean, we might, maybe, but not in the way that they want us
no,
to.
No,
right? It's going to be ridiculous. Just kidding. So yeah, I think that the trust that you've built in the show is like in the people that listen to you and trust your guidance and they trust your judgment. It's like, I hope to be instilling that same level of trust in the people that will come to my work and to come to my platforms. And so ultimately it's like, if you say, hey, this directory over here is legit because you trust me and I trust these people that are inside mm-hmm. this directory, it's like, that's what I think that we need to be doing.
The stamp of approval.
Really getting these practitioners that I know are not going to build an online platform. They're not going to build a podcast. They're not going to do virtual community meditations open to the public. But I know that if you get with them one-on-one, then they will support you in your healing because these practitioners that I have met are some of the most incredible, loving, kind humans that have healed their own shit. Mm-hmm. Everybody that is in my network of practitioners, they have walked through their shadow, their dark valley, their dark night of the soul. They've swam in their deep waters. And I'm like, that's who the people that I would send my mother to my friends to. Because there's people in my life that I can't do work with them, right? Mm-hmm. It's not appropriate for me to do deep inner work with some people. And so it's like, who would I send someone that I love deeply to? I have this network. And so,
yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
The long answer to the question is, what are you a practitioner of? I'm a practitioner of energy. I am a trainer or supporter, empower, educator of current practitioners or those that perhaps think that maybe one day they would like to step into a role of holding space for people full time and letting that be their job. Mm-hmm. And like the rise of women doing healing work together, the rise of inner, like intimate community meditations inside of living rooms, the rise of women who have been told that they're just a stay-at-home mom or they're just a this, that, and the other thing, the rise of women who think that I don't want to go to a 9-to-5, I don't want to work this job, I want to contribute to my family, but I don't want to be drowning in work all the time. It's like, I want to give people something that they can stand on and build it to however big that they want. And maybe that's just seeing a couple clients and helping them be comfortable smoking a little bit of weed. Like, what is my life?
It's a great life.
It's a great life.
Well, I just adore you. I'm so lucky to call you a friend and a personal shit. I mean, you're my practitioner.
Well, I appreciate
you're
that.
You're in my toolbox.
I'm here for you, girl.
I know.
I'm here for you. I can't wait to get even weird with you. Like, all the weird shit. I'm into it.
Same. Okay. We love you so much, Colette. Thank you so much. Where can they find you?
Find me on Instagram. Balancing Cannabis right now. That's the easiest, best way. I mean, as we're going through this transition, I'm going to be building this virtual studio, right? So the virtual studio is going to be called Love Culture, and it's a Love Culture community center. Eventually, I wanted to have a real in-life, like brick and mortar, actual studio space where I can hug you. Mm-hmm. But until then, we're going to do it online and just build out this virtual community, this vetted directory of practitioners, this integrated calendar of different offerings. So that will be called Love Culture. You can follow along on that one as well. But Balancing Cannabis is where you can find me. That's where you can find cannabis meditation. That's where I'm the most active right now as far as offering things to the public. But you can find me in lots of different ways and send me an email, send me a DM, pop in my whatevers. And yeah, there's lots to be explored.
Lots. We're just getting started.
We're just getting started. It's going to be a beautiful season.
You guys, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Find Colette at Balancing Cannabis.
Yeah. Peace. Love you guys.
Bye.